Lord Jesus. Mighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, have your way. Let flesh come out of the way. God, have your way. Open my heart. Open the heart of your people. Break every chain. Break every yoke. In no other name but the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Obedience. Obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, "Have the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." We all know the Shema. It's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." The first word of the Shema is hear, or listen. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to, focus on, respond to what you hear, to obey. And at this time, I just wanted to show you a quick clip on the word Shema.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." Now, the first word of the Shema is hear or listen, which in Hebrew is pronounced Shema. That's where the prayer gets its name. Now, Shema is a really common word in the Hebrew Bible, and it's obvious why. Hearing is a very universal activity. It's usually connected with the ear, as in Proverbs chapter 20, "Ears that Shema and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both." Now, that seems basic enough, but if you look at the other ways that Hebrew authors can use the word Shema, they use it to mean more than just let sound waves enter your ear. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to or focus on. So when Leah, who wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she has a son, and she names him Simon, or in Hebrew, Shim'on, because, she says, "The Lord has Shama'ad, that I am unloved." So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to, and even more. It can also mean responding to what you hear. This is why so many of the cries for help in the book of Psalms begin with a call that God listen. Psalm 27, verse 7. "Shema my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful. Answer me." So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act, to do something. It's similar to when God asks people to listen. Like when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, God says, "If you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession." Now, there's a couple interesting things about this verse in Exodus. In Hebrew, the word Shema is repeated twice in this sentence to give it emphasis. If you Shema, Shema, meaning listen closely. But also notice that from God's point of view, listening is basically the same as keeping the covenant. So when God asks the people to Shema, what he means is that they listen and obey. And that's the last fascinating thing about Shema. In ancient Hebrew, there is no separate word for obey, meaning to carry out the wishes of someone who knows better than you or is in authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, "I will listen and do what you say," you use the single word, Shema. In Hebrew, listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. This is why later in Israel's history, when the people were breaking their covenant promises to God, the Hebrew prophets would say things like, "They have ears, but they're not listening." The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action, and that's the Hebrew word Shema.
Thank you, sound team. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you. Obedience. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 31. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for him, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord. The king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and he returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So far, so good. He is obeying. Amen. But partial obedience is not enough. Let's continue reading. Again, obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. He went after the man of God, found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said, unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. Again, so far so good. He's being obedient to the Lord. This is where it gets interesting. Verse 17, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. There's a scripture that says, and I think it was the Apostle Paul, he said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Amen? And so, you know, this old prophet saying that he heard from an angel got him into some deception. Verse 19, so he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house and drank water. So he was doing good. He was doing very well, you know. But again, partial obedience is not enough. God wants from me complete obedience. Verse 20, and it came to pass, as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunken water in the place of which, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Verse 24. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Verse 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord had delivered him unto the lion, which had torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It could be a matter of life and death. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It takes faith to obey. When God told me to move to the Midwest almost 20 years ago, I was fearful because I have no family here. I've never been here before, never visited anywhere here in the Midwest. But by faith, I obeyed God. I love my family very much. They have my best interests at heart, but they tried to discourage me. But I knew I heard from God, and eventually everything worked out. My pastor at the time, he wasn't sure either, but I knew I heard from God. I prayed, and thank God, eventually he did give me his blessing. He did give me his blessing because I heard from the Lord. Now, keep in mind that God's not going to tell us something that goes against his word. God is not the author of confusion. So if you feel like you've heard from the Lord, make sure that it matches with the word of the Lord. And also, it's very imperative to seek godly counsel. Even though my pastor at the time was a little hesitant, I did seek his counsel. And because it was the will of God, and because God gave me the ability to have a humble attitude about it, the pastor at the time and the saints for the church that I went to at the time, they blessed me tremendously, tremendously financially, and they prayed for me. You know, when you're in the will of God, things are going to flow. It's going to flow. Amen. There's going to be no confusion when you hear from the Lord. Noah obeyed the voice of God. I don't think it had rained. I don't think they had ever seen rain. But he heard the voice of the Lord, and maybe his neighbors were laughing at him. Maybe they were calling him names, you know. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? And he obeyed the Lord. And because of that, his family was saved. So our obedience is so important because you don't know. It could be your family, could be students who are in school, could be your friends at school on the playground, you know, teenagers, you know, other teenagers in your classroom. They're watching you. They're watching you. And I know it's not always easy. I know it's not always easy when you're the only one that's trying to stand and having done all to stand. But I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it all. This month, 1995, August of 1995, the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I was baptized in the mighty name of Jesus. And that changed my life completely. I'm now in my early 40s, and God has never failed. I've been disobedient. I've been stiff-necked, But thank God for repentance. Thank God for repentance. Repentance is a gift. Repentance is a gift. And, you know, the Bible says we die daily. And so it is the grace of God. As a teenager, you know, up until now, God has kept me. And I still have no family here in the Midwest. And it's not for sympathy why I'm saying this. I just want to encourage somebody today, obedience is better than sacrifice. And when you're in the will of God, God's going to give you favor. When you obey his voice, when you listen to his word, now, it's not good just to know the word, but when you activate that word in you, God's going to lead you. God's going to give you favor. Amen. I've only been coming to Rehoboth for about 2.5 years. I did not know Pastor and Sister Brownie, but the Holy Ghost directed me to this place, and he gave me favor with this couple. They didn't know me from Adams, but because of the Holy Ghost, because I am trying to live for God, I'm not better than nobody else. I'm not holier than anybody else, but I'm trying to be and to do what Jesus Christ wants me to be and do, and that's not easy. That's not easy. Sometimes your own family will not understand you. And they're the ones sometimes that can hurt you the most. But you just keep praying for them. And you keep loving them. And you keep Shema. You keep obeying and walking and doing what God wants you to do. And so this man of God was so powerful. My goodness. But he got deceived. That's why humility is so important. God can use you to raise the dead. But after that, you still have to walk in humility, because at any moment you can be deceived. It's just the grace of God that's keeping us. It takes faith to obey. Sometimes we disobey God because we're afraid. We don't want to lose our family. We don't want to lose our friends, right? We disobey because we want to blend in. We want to fit in. We don't want people to, you know, look at us weird. Amen? So sometimes fear causes disobedience. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, said, take the rod, gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak. God told him to speak unto the rock. Now keep in mind, the Bible said that Moses was a very meek man. I think he was one of the meekest men on the face of the earth. But again, we're human, right? We need the grace of God. God told him to speak. Okay, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said, ooh, he got a little angry. He said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? This is the meekest man on the face of the earth. They really got to him. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. Sure, the children of Israel got water, but Moses did not obey the Lord. And that's why we have to pray for our leaders. We have to pray for our pastors, you know, those in authority, teachers, you Sunday school teachers. We have to pray for you and just pray, you know, because you're in leadership, and when you're in leadership, the enemy just, whew, he comes after you. And if he can't get you, he's going to go to your children, you know, because he knows that your mind is made up. You're going to serve God no matter what. So he's going to try and just cause crazy stuff, you know, within your family. But by the grace of God, we just have to be obedient and just keep going with what God tells us to do. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Wow. He labored and he suffered, you know, with their murmuring and their complaining and just, oh. And it got to him. But God is merciful. God is a merciful God. And he's a God of a second chance. Amen. Sometimes the Lord will ask us to do something that our flesh, we don't want to do it. We're going to fight it. Sometimes we just flat out tell the Lord, I do not want to do that. Like Jonah in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his money. He went down into the ship, trying to run from God. We can run, but we can't hide. Amen. God is everywhere. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest into the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And it's not always about me, and it's not always about you. It's about God, his kingdom. And there could be someone, I don't know, maybe you're standing in line and God tell you, hey, give this person a card, or talk to this person, or ask this person if you could pray for them. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You don't know. You don't know what that person is going through. You don't know the thoughts. You don't know the struggles. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. So many times I've been disobedient and stiff-necked like Jonah. Amen. But thank God for the gift of repentance. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, Exodus 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear. Blessed are they that listen to the word of God and keep it. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. James 1 verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Romans 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So if you're the only one in your family that's serving God, hang in there. Hold on. Amen. Because of your obedience, your mom, your dad, your siblings, your cousins, your auntie and them can come to know this awesome salvation. Amen. So keep being obedient to the Lord. Some people have prayed years for their relatives. Amen. Amen. And God's going to do it, and God is doing it in Jesus' name. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. There's so many rewards for obedience. There's healing. There is provision, right? There's comfort. There is peace. There is joy. There's so many things in obeying the voice of God. Lord, I just want to thank you right now, God, for giving me the privilege to minister to your people. You love us so much. Help us to shema you. Help us to obey, Lord Jesus. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our disobedience. Forgive us for being stiff-necked. Forgive us for being prideful and arrogant. Forgive us, oh God. Lord, we just want to give you thanks for your love and your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand. You know, the prophet Elijah went to Mount Sinai and he expected God was going to make a big old lot of noise. And he wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. You know the story. He was in the still, small voice And although that wasn't a long message, I hope you listened. Shema. I hope you listened. You learned that listening doesn't just mean listening, it means actually doing. And I appreciate Sister Tanya because I want to listen to God's voice. I want to be obedient to His will. In fact, what she preached about was a match for the Bible study. Right? It was a match for the Bible study about listening to the Spirit. And I believe that if we will listen to the Spirit, and sometimes you have to be quiet to listen. If you let the noise of this world just always around you, you can't hear God's voice. You'll be listening to the wrong things. God wants to speak to us. He really does. I really feel He wants to tell us a lot more. But we have drowned it out with busyness, with life's cares, with all the things that go on around us. And today as we come to this first day of August 19, no, I'm thinking about my birth date. 2021, amen. But you know, David said, teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. I don't know how many I have left. My real hope is actually not living to 80 or 100. My real hope is living to see the rapture. That's my hope. I hope we that are here are in the category that are alive and remain. See, there's some that are going to go on before us, but there is going to be a category that are alive and remain. That's my prayer. I want to be alive and remain. You know, when you get to 65, you have those conversations with your wife about who's going to go first. But we've decided, and the one thing we do agree on is that we want to be in the category that go together. To be alive and remain. And that will only happen if you Shema. If you're listening. Because I really believe God is speaking. I taught about the famine for the word of God. But if we will listen, God is speaking. He's speaking to each and every one of you. There are things that God has tailored for you. He has a plan for you. And I'm not going to be too long. When he arose and he met them on the beach after they had fished again, and he talked to Peter and he said, I want you to go and feed my sheep. And Peter was looking at the others and said, what about him? Jesus said, don't worry about him. This is a personal salvation. We have to work out our salvation personally. As much as I love my wife, her righteousness can't help me. It's a personal thing. We're going to close this service, but the word today was obedience. Obedience. I'm going to be coming to some of you. I'm going to be asking you to do some things. We're going to be doing some things this year. But it takes me, you, and obedience. I didn't tell her to preach that message. I didn't know what she was going to preach. But the Spirit did. And God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to listen so that we can not only just say, hear, O Israel, but actually believe it, live it, walk it, teach it, witness it. That's what God has called us to.